Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we're talking about men's health with one of our really erudite go-to experts. He's Dr. Aaron Katz, Chairman of Urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital here in New York, and also the host of a wonderful radio show on WABC Radio, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock. Don't miss it, because you'll learn a lot about men's health. And it's amazing the advances that are occurring in this area, because it's a big deal, because prostate cancer, unfortunately, what is it, is number two killer for men? Among cancers, right? Because there's lung cancer and then followed by prostate cancer, is that correct?
That's correct, and colorectal, yes.
And colorectal, okay, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, clearly a big deal. And, you know, kind of also it's important because it affects a part of the body that we generally don't think is kind of superfluous, do we, as men? You know, and we don't want to get over-treated. We don't want the consequences of over-aggressive treatments that leave us with urinary problems, that leave us with sexual problems. And big story that was in the news this week, and we've been aware of it, I think, both of us, is that hormone blockers really work in advanced prostate cancer. We use them frequently just to turn off the fuel supply to the cancer because, you know, prostate cancers love testosterone, and we turn that off with androgen blockade or androgen deprivation therapies. But there's a price to be paid, and it came up recently in a study that it increased the risk for dementia. So talk to us about the pros and cons of the androgen therapy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good point. And the study did show that there was, in men that were on long-term hormonal suppression, that there was about a 19% relative increase of men developing Alzheimer's disease, which, of course, is something you never want to see because, you know, Alzheimer's is, as far as I know, there's no real way of preventing it right now, and the treatments are still, I think, in their infancy, and it's a horrible, horrible disease. However, what we've had in prostate cancer therapy for many years, since actually the early 1940s, what we've known is that if we are able to reduce a man's testosterone level who have prostate cancer, advanced prostate cancer, we can put them in a remission. And unfortunately, I think we've used the hormones a little bit too much, way too much. We've used them too long and too much, and we need to be, again, mindful about this new study and be cautious. And not everyone that gets prostate cancer that it needs radiation, especially radiation, because in the past, every man that was going for radiation would have 18 months or 36 months of hormonal therapy.
It was almost de rigueur. It was like part of the menu.
It really was, you know, it was, oh, well, you get it. And now a lot of the radiation oncologists don't believe that that's necessary, mm-hmm, thankfully, mm-hmm, nor do I. But, you know, there are men, unfortunately, that will develop prostate cancer in their bones. And at this point in time, hormonal therapy, at least in the short term, needs to be initiated in order to put it into a remission. Now, there are some great new therapies that are on the horizon. We're seeing an explosion of the whole field of immune oncology, and mm-hmm, it's been terrific for mm-hmm both melanoma, lung
many cancers
cancer,
now, and now
bladder
applicable
cancer,
to prostate
kidney
cancer.
Cancer.
As well.
Yep. Yeah, and so we're starting to see some of these, you know, immune checkpoint inhibitors that are starting to be used even in prostate cancer in some of the earlier, you know, clinical trials at this point. But as of right now, as it stands, if you're, you know, if you have an advanced prostate cancer, and I was just dealing with a man earlier today who, you know, let his PSA go and didn't get checked, and now his PSA was, I think it was 350, and unfortunately, I mean, not surprisingly, the bone scan lit up, you know, and it's all over the bones. And right now, to put this in a remission, I'm not saying he needs hormones for life, but in order to get this in a remission and get this under control, because I told him, it's like your car is going at, you know, 90 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. It's just going too fast. We need to slow it down. Mm-hmm. And you can't radiate your whole body for this, and it wouldn't help. So we need to do hormones and then maybe combine it with either immune therapy or maybe some chemotherapy and not use the hormones as long as we did because of this recent study with Alzheimer's. But it has been shown in many studies that if a man has advanced prostate cancer and you go on a hormonal therapy, it will, in fact, you know, prolong your life. And it will delay the disease progression. It may not cure you, but, you know, some men may not be able to be cured, but they can be controlled. You know, there's the two C's. There's the control and there's the cure. And some men may not be able to be cured. Maybe they'll always live in their body. Maybe men, you know, with HIV may never be HIV negative, but they can be controlled and they can live your entire life without having the consequences of the disease. So,
and that may be a good way to look at it, is that maybe we won't, you know, everybody's talking about the cure for cancer. It'd be great to just eradicate cancer. But I think the way it's going to develop is that it's going to follow the model of HIV, which is that we don't eradicate the virus, but we minimize symptoms through using a cocktail. You know, they actually literally call it a drug cocktail, a variety of things that work synergistically to suppress the cancer and keep it at bay and prolong life. I mean, I have patients who were diagnosed in the 1980s with AIDS, who were at death's door. They're still alive with the cocktails that are given, you know, so.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And, you know, I applaud the people that have done the research and the philanthropy that has gone into helping so many people with this horrific disease. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely right.
But, you know, what's interesting with the androgen blockade, it kind of gives us a little bit of a clue as to the role of testosterone for men and the impact that testosterone has on men's health. So, for example, you know, we have this extreme example of, there's a higher incidence of Alzheimer's disease, something very, very dramatic. A very dire consequence of this androgen deprivation. But short of that, men lose their mojo. You know, if you want to follow the Austin Powers, the Spy Who Shagged Me kind of metaphor, when they take these medications, they feel kind of downtrodden, they feel schleppy, they have low T. I mean, it's deliberately induced, and it may actually increase their risk for metabolic syndrome. So that actually gives us a clue to the potential benefits of testosterone for older men, right?
Yes, all of that is true. And like anything else in medicine, you have to be, you know, aware and let the patient know about the risks and benefits. And if you are on androgen deprivation therapy, this, you know, hormonal blocker, that you do need to be physically active. You do need to take calcium. You do need to take other supplements to keep your body healthy. Because you're right, you know, low T is going to have an effect on you in many different ways in your metabolism. And then it brings up the whole controversy is, and I think, you know, something that's very exciting is, can we give men who are what we call hypogonadal or low T, who have low T, can we give them back testosterone, and can it be delivered safely? You know,
and I think there's a recent study that was very encouraging along those lines, looking at long-term testosterone replacement in hypogonadal men. I believe it was a Scandinavian study, if I'm not mistaken, that little, if any, increase in the risk of prostate cancer, which is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yes, that's correct, and it does. And it gives us, as urologists that are providing health care to men around the country who do need testosterone, I see, and I'm sure you do too, so many men that can't get out of bed, that have low, you know, muscle mass, that have low sexual desire or can't perform sexually, that it can make a dramatic difference. I must have seen five guys today earlier that are on testosterone. Now, I think it has to be, I'll take out think. I know that it should be done under the supervision
of
a physician.
Yep.
It does. And, you know, and I don't like the idea of internet companies and touting, you know, testosterone replacement therapy, because men will go to these sites, they'll order it, and they don't even know what their testosterone level is. And if you go, oh, I'm a little depressed, I'm not doing that well, I must be low testosterone.
Right.
You don't know that. And then you're, you know, you're kind of dabbling with your hormones, and, you know, if there is testosterone there, it will shut off your normal testosterone from your testicle. And that is well known, because if we're giving you exogenous testosterone from outside the body, your own body's ability to manufacture testosterone will be shut off.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's very dangerous. I think it's a very dangerous and slippery slope out there to take these things and to, you know, take hormones without having a physician.
Right. I mean, you see the ads now on TV that, you know, you just call up and, you know, discreetly they'll send you a package of, you know, testosterone.
Yeah.
You could administer it and, you know, no fuss, no bother. And I hope that
That's
these
right.
men are being monitored. But, you know, a big question, and this is a huge controversy, as you know, and I think you go to a lot of urology conventions and read the journals, is testosterone good for the heart or bad for the heart? At first, it was thought, oh, testosterone, oh, contraindicated in men who have heart disease. Just as like in the Women's Health Initiative, they say, oh, stop using estrogen in women because it's bad for their hearts. Well, there's evidence to the contrary, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. And, you know, I'm in the camp that I think that testosterone is good for the heart. I think that men that have low T, that there have been a lot of studies in the veteran administration groups and so forth that have shown that the lower the testosterone, the more likely you are to have coronary artery disease, especially or a cardiac event, especially if you had, you know, cardiac disease in your family or a prior cardiac event. So I think that's a real role for testosterone there. But the other area of controversy is, and urologists are swinging now to another side, is giving testosterone in men that have prostate cancer, whether they've been treated before and are in remission and are doing well, and say, oh, well, we can't give testosterone because that'll explode the cancer. Well, that's not true, actually.
Yep.
That hasn't been shown at all. And
that's actually pretty reassuring when it comes to, you know, our men who are concerned about getting prostate cancer from the testosterone. Even men who previously had prostate cancer, when it's been treated and controlled, they do pretty well with testosterone replacement, don't they?
They do. They do very well. And especially even in the men that we've treated, and a lot of studies on this that we were talking about earlier, that large population of men with, you know, the low-risk prostate cancer that are on active surveillance who need testosterone, we can give it to them safely now. There are a lot of studies at the AUA that was presented this year in Chicago that I went to, and recent publications in the Journal of Urology that appears to be relatively safe. Of course, we have to always let the patient know about the risks and benefits, and they have to be monitored. So monitor your PSA closely. Monitor your testosterone levels. But my own experience in my practice is to replace testosterone if needed, even in men that either have been treated for prostate cancer or are on the active surveillance program.
However, you're in a position to have a pretty darn good idea whether they're at risk for prostate cancer, because you do a very, very comprehensive evaluation to see if it's safe. So that
yes.
you know, makes it a little bit more reassuring. I want to comment on a trend that I've noticed in urology. It's kind of interesting. It you know, used to be that Viagra, Levitra, Cialis, I mean, they're virtually recreational drugs. These days, I notice a lot of men are getting a prescription to take one Cialis pill every single day, and they like it because it helps them with urination, and it also helps them in another department. It's kind of interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, that's really the only medication that's out there that's approved, FDA approved, for two issues that men suffer from, which is BPH, or what we call lower urinary tract symptoms, LUTS, or BPH symptoms, and erectile dysfunction. And the 5 milligram daily dose, Tadalafil, or Cialis, is what has been recommended. Now, a lot of the insurance carriers won't pay for it. And even though it is an effective drug, I still get a lot of pushback from patients that the insurance carriers are not paying it, and they want to pay for the much cheaper form, the generic tamsulosin, which is the old Flomax.
Right, which almost has the opposite effect, retrograde ejaculation.
It's not going to help your sexual function, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And it is a pretty good drug for helping urinary symptoms, but you're going to have retrograde ejaculation.
It's basically a urinary tract tranquilizer, sort of.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So, yes, there is that trend, and hopefully the insurance carriers will pay more for that because it has been very helpful. But, you know, for men who, and that's a whole nother, you know, I guess a whole nother podcast about how we're evaluating men for erectile dysfunction, because it is a major problem. And, you know, if you really sit down and talk to men that are, you know, 50, 60, 70, or even younger men, a lot of men are concerned about their ability to have normal sexual function. They feel it's not as good as it was. Well, what is, I tell them, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't have to be perfect. They don't have to be 20 years old. But there are, you know, the medications, like you mentioned, the Viagra, the Cialis, the Levitra, but it takes more of an in-depth discussion rather than just giving a pill and a Band-Aid to understand. You know, I see a man, he comes in, and his hemoglobin A1C is 9, which is off the chart.
You really have to do a holistic evaluation on these people.
He's 300 pounds. He hasn't been in the gym or exercising. Mm-hmm. You know, he's smoking cigarettes. And, you know, and these are all the risk factors and lifestyle changes that really can. His cholesterol is, you know, is sky high, and the LDLs are, you know, 200. You have to be mindful, and your body and the penis is, you know, an organ that requires blood to be delivered. And if you are doing anything in your lifestyle to interfere with those arteries that are delivering blood to the penis, because that's all it is. I mean, an erection is just increased, you know, blood there, and you're going to have an inability, especially if you have all these lifestyle things in your, you know, that you're doing that are not beneficial. So that's why I think it does require, as you just said, a holistic evaluation of the patient. And then, of course, there's so many things tied in psychologically. Is he married? Is he happy? Mm-hmm. What's going on in the bedroom with the romance, you know? Mm-hmm. And, oh, we haven't had sex in a year. And then you expect to just, you know, take a pill and then go back in the bedroom and everything's going to be fine. It doesn't work that way, you know? And it just, so it does require an in-depth, I think, consultation and discussion. But there are new treatments. There are things, that we can do beyond the pills, if that's what's required.
I wanted to get you, before we conclude, to comment on, you know, some of the over-the-counter things that are offered for prostate health. For example, saw palmetto. Saw palmetto, and often in combination with pumpkin seed and various other ingredients, nettles in some cases. Do these... You know, you've looked at the scientific evidence. You've also talked to literally thousands of patients. Do these really work to improve urination, to shrink the prostate, et cetera?
I think that they do. Okay? I think that in men that have mild urinary symptoms, it can stabilize them. Is it a, you know, is there a placebo effect there? Is there hard evidence? There's some laboratory evidence. There's some clinical evidence. There haven't been so many clinical trials out there because a lot of the trials are covered by drug companies, and that's where the money's going. So it's not a lot of money in clinical trials aren't put into herbal compounds. I can just say from my own experience, yes, I do feel that those compounds that you mentioned, saw palmetto, stinging nettles, pumpkin seed, things that will reduce prostate inflammation. You know, I've worked with a company, as you know, New Chapter, and they still make this compound Zyflamen, which I do recommend to my patients. I have no financial interest, by the way, in that. I do like vitamin D for my patients. I do get vitamin D levels. I think that can be also very helpful.
Associated with the prognosis of prostate cancer, according to studies.
Absolutely.
Prostate cancer tends to be more aggressive in patients with low vitamin D, right?
Absolutely. So do I think they can help? Yes. Now, if someone can't urinate at all, or if someone is in urinary retention and requires a catheter, or if they're carrying large residuals, or if they're up 5 times a night and every 30 minutes they go into the bathroom, probably not going to help you.
It's too late for, you know.
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's going to be too late. And what we do is we fill out, have patients fill out a questionnaire when they come in, and I can gauge the severity of their symptoms. And if their symptoms are severe, the herbals alone. Now I'll use the herbals, but I won't use them alone. I'll have to combine them with a pharmaceutical. Or now we have, and again, this could be a whole nother podcast, but some new minimally invasive treatment mm-hmm. options mm-hmm. In the office that can be very effective and spare men normal and allow men to have normal sexual function. The UroLift, the Resume procedure, these are done in the office rather than the old TERP where men had to come in the mm-hmm. into the hospital and be
the
hospitalized
scalpel procedure,
for several days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we don't have, well, we do it occasionally, but there's some new great procedures for men to improve their urinary function. But yes, I do think that there is a role for herbals and lifestyle modifications and having men that are getting up five times a night to stop drinking after dinner and stop having coffee at night and six beers after dinner. And, yes. I listen to these guys say, well, I have three beers after dinner and, I'm peeing all night. Well, yeah, of mm-hmm. course you are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So would I be. Okay. So let's be a little bit, let's cut that out as well.
Sometimes you can hit a home run with a very low-tech intervention, just lifestyle modification and diet advice. Yeah great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, I really feel you are the consummate physician because you incorporate the latest high-tech findings along with the best of, traditional natural medicine. You're very open to both, and you keep abreast of findings in both areas. You really exemplify mm-hmm. intelligent medicine in your realm of urology. So always a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine, and it's been very informative.
Thank you so much for not only your kind words, but for inviting me here, and I look forward to coming back and seeing you soon, Ron. Thank you so
okay,
much.
Okay, once
really
again, give us the heads up on how people can get information about your radio program, your practice.
Well, Katz's Corner is on every Sunday on WABC
Radio. Sounds like a deli. That sounds like a deli, doesn't it?
Katz's Corner. Maybe it will be a deli one day. Maybe that's my future. Katz's Corner on Sunday morning on WABC. That's 7:70 a.m. at 7 in the morning. And then if you're interested and want to see me or one of my colleagues out here at NYU Winthrop, I'd love to see you. It's you can just check us out on the web at NYU Winthrop, and be glad to see you.
That's out on the island, but you also have a pied-à-terre in New York where you see patients?
Yes. We see patients
Manhattan.
On 83rd and Park Avenue. It's the same number to call. It's 516, I'm drawing the blank.
563-8783.
Or you can just check us out on the web at WinthropUrology.com.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Aaron Katz, for joining us.
Have a wonderful day.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. These new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the Intelligent Medicine lifestyle, and for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.